This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The secret's oat. For nourishing your sensitive skin, start each day with Aveeno's Daily Moisturizing Body Wash to gently cleanse and help preserve your skin's moisture barrier. Then slather on the Daily Moisturizing Body Lotion for 24 hours of clinically proven hydration. This powerful combo gives you 2 times the moisture in 2 easy steps, thanks to both nourishing oat formulas. Get softer, smoother skin and shop Aveeno now at Target.
Jim, I just had a really good apple. It was super good. Jim Colony's in.
Macintosh, delicious?
I don't know. My wife bought
really good.
It was really, really juicy. Chris Mackey's out until Monday. Jim Colony in. With us in studio. This is absolutely great. And we did talk to one of our favorite people, Michael McHenry, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Michael, good morning to you. How you doing?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Great. I just had a great apple. What's your fruit power list? What's your favorite fruit that you eat, Michael?
Have you ever had a cotton candy grape?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on. Nothing better than a cotton candy grape. I'm not even a big cotton candy person, but every fall when those things come out, I can eat them like a Pettis, so good.
Sometimes they have them right in the front when you walk into Whole Foods, like right in the front there. They are spectacular. And they're so big, though, sometimes. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but you're like, how is this even a grape? It's gigantic, the cotton candy grapes.
looks like a green apple. Exactly.
Yes. Michael, what's going on with Mitch Keller? Tell me if you're catching Mitch Keller and it starts to go sideways, or maybe even before he starts. What's Michael McHenry's fix for Mitch Keller?
You know, I don't know if you guys heard Oscar talking about Musgrove, but he was saying that Musgrove was really coming into his identity as he left the Pirates. You know, I think his last 15 innings, he had scoreless with the Pirates. He's really good, made some mechanical adjustments. But that word identity is what I'd start with Mitch Keller. Mitch, what's your identity? If you know nothing about the scouting report and you're going to go out and pitch in Little League tomorrow, but the Little League just happens to have Mike Trout and Albert Pujols in it, how are you going to get these guys out? And I'd let him kind of walk through it in a sense of answering his own questions, because I feel like sometimes he relies so much on the people around him because his stuff's always been so good. And his stuff is good. It rates out really, really well. He's just got to understand, how am I going to go out and compete when I don't have my best stuff, when maybe my velocity's down or maybe my location isn't where I want it to be? How do you go out and compete and win? I mean, he outstuffed the Cubs just in his second start. But this last start, you know, going at the top of the zone at 98, he was getting hit. And that shouldn't happen. So what's his identity? How are we going to attack a righty if you know nothing about him, a lefty if you know nothing about him? And how are you going to get back in the zone when things are awry?
And, Michael, the other part about it is that his first innings are the worst. You'd almost think it would be the other way around, where after guys have seen him and you know, you're coming out of the bullpen, how do you fix that? Because it's just, he's putting himself, you know, behind before he even gets started.
You know, some of the like biggest jumps I've ever seen with guys, like last year, for example, Brubaker and Chad Kuhl, how good were they out of the bullpen? I think it's a mentality thing. When you know you don't have to cover 4, 5, 6 innings, I mean, 4 and 5 is kind of the trend right now, but if you go out and just say, I'm going to cover this inning, and then once you get up from that seat and start walking back on the field, you worry about that inning. I think the bullpen mentality is so important for guys with his type of stuff, because he can always get out of his own jam because he has that swing and miss ability. So he's got to go out there and from pitch one just say, how am I going to get this guy out, and then we'll move on to the next one depending on how this turns out in this situation. I just think there's this cloud of thought always over his head, thinking about, you know, maybe 2 or 3 steps ahead instead of just focusing on one pitch, one spot, and then moving to the next one.
Okay, well then, if that is the case, and tell me this then, do you treat like the first 3 or 5 starts different than you treat starts after guys are in a groove for the season, you get around the midpoint in the season, knowing that there's probably a different pitch count? Do you treat it maybe with a different set of sense of urgency at the beginning, like make the first couple innings really count, or are they all treated the same?
You know, for me, I think competing, and I think Colin, you said the exact same thing, because we seem to have the same personality areas. I don't worry about tomorrow. You know, I the whole pitch count thing, I think, is overblown. I think that needs to be more biomechanical. I think that's where it's trending, because each guy has a different limit. You know, that's why Trevor Bauer throws 120 pitches almost every time out, and he seems to continue to get better year after year. And he also wants to pitch on 4 days rest, because that's his optimum ability to be at his best, is pitching on 4 days rest. So I think you look at it as an individual basis, but the biggest thing, you know, you want to have every guy go out there and do is compete. You know, and I think for a long time the organization was so focused on developing that they forgot about that compete aspect a little bit, and guys are kind of suffering from it. They're not learning how to go out and just be A.J. Burnett with a torn UCL and be able to go out and throw 85, 86 and have one of his best years.
Michael, I know that Oviedo's first inning was messy, had a couple walks, ended up in the stolen bases and a sacrifice fly. But what about him overall? What's your impression of him about how he reacted after he got lit up his previous outing?
I thought he had a good bounce back. You know, it's tough when you've been a 20-year-old kid pitching in low A and you're pretty much, you know, scheduled every 4 to 5 days. You're going to have your bullpen in between because, you know, in those lower levels, they're very, very, I guess, oriented into a schedule and a routine to make sure these guys really kind of can have a jump start into their career. And then you throw out what happened in his last time out prior to this last one. He hadn't pitched in 6 days, and that's unorthodox for him. And at his age, that's something that's probably a little bit more important. And I love that Shelton took ownership of that and said, hey, it's my fault for not getting this kid out here sooner. You put him in a tough situation, which I do like that they kind of challenged in that situation. But at the end of the day, it's going to be kind of a learning process for him all year long, more than anybody else on the team, because he hasn't played above high A. I mean, you think about that. He's facing big league hitters, and he's been pretty good throughout spring training up to this point for a 21-year-old that hasn't faced big league hitters before.
Michael McHenry, AT&T Sports, joining us here. Michael, what do you think the organization's hesitancy has been, or maybe just the bench managers, actually, not the organization's, to put Brian Reynolds in center field, and should he be playing some center field?
You know, I've hoped that for a long time, especially at PNC. You look at PNC and the dimensions, the fastest and the most athletic outfielder should play left field. So, you know, it kind of makes sense to put, you know, when Marte was here, you know, he was the fastest outfielder out of him and Kutch, and he graded out better defensively. And when he played left, there was only one guy that even graded out close to him, and that was Gordon in Kansas City. And we all know his numbers were just phenomenal in Kansas City because he had a huge area to cover as well. So I do think the best outfielder for a Pirate should be in left field. So it makes sense to put, you know, Fowler and Alford, the guys that have, you know, better burst speed, better angles and stuff in left, and let Reynolds play center. And he graded out great there last year. I think he was a +2 in run save. So I'd love to see him kind of transition over to center fielder. And, you know, if you think about the numbers he could put up as a center fielder, they'd be big numbers in the National League.
Where do you think that Phil Evans, and I know he was sat down yesterday, got a day off, but he's going to be back in the lineup, I would imagine, this weekend because he's been their hottest hitter. Can he be successful still moving around, or is there going to be a spot for him? I guess I'm thinking about outfield because of the struggles of the other outfielders, other than actually even Reynolds is kind of struggling too, but you know what I'm talking about, to get more production in the lineup.
You know, I wouldn't change anything with him right now. You know, I would continue to move him around and do different things. You know, when I think about Jay Hay a lot, you know, when he was moving around, his value, not just analytically, but, you know, just by the eye test, you could see when he was playing outfield, he was playing third, he was playing second base, kind of moving around, he was at his best. And I think a lot of times, you know, being able to have a mentality where you're so focused on the defense side, it makes you relax at the plate. And I think that's what's happening with Evans. He doesn't have to just solely focus on hitting, and it just gives him that freedom to go up there and process that at bat in that moment and then move on to the next one because he's focused on all the new defensive alignments he's having to learn and play that he hasn't done throughout his career.
Last thing for you before we let you go, and again, you're about my age, you know, but has it become...
About 22?
Yeah, right? 22, 23. does it blow your mind, and you watch Machado, or you watch Ke'Bryan Hayes, you watch a lot of these younger infielders, the exchange that they have, and how quick... Seemingly, the ball's never in their glove. That, to me, just blows my mind when I watch baseball nowadays, how quickly the exchange is, whether it's in the middle of the diamond or whether it's fielding a ground ball and getting it out and getting it to first base.
Yeah, they're like Houdini.
It's unbelievable.
it really is. I mean, the athletic ability that these guys have nowadays, and I think it's because guys are training different at a younger age. You know, I didn't know about, like, you know, personal training and all those things in middle school and high school is when, you know, you start to really kick up in the Tennessee area. The ability to kind of look at film and biomechanically break down your swing, you know, the way you process the ball. I mean, you can do that at the most micro level now. I mean, kids are getting graded out at 10 or 11 years old, and kids are committing to colleges that, you know, their freshman year. It's remarkable what's happening in the baseball society and where it's going. I hope it doesn't get too analytical, because I think that old school feel is really important. And I think it's a lot of fun. The boys playing the game is something that's really special. So I don't want them to lose it completely, but yeah, you're right. I mean, you think about Machado, you think about Hayes, wait till you guys get a good feel of Nolan Arenado. Him and Hayes are going to be a lot of fun to watch in this division for a really long time.
Michael McHenry, Michael the best. Have a great weekend. We appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. Take care. God bless.
The best.
Yeah, you too.
Just I could listen to him. And, you know,
oh, yeah.
I don't like. It's the way of the world. You have to be in the studio a lot of times in that hub instead of being on the road and all of that. It's brought out, though, something to where Michael, I think, is so good when he's in that studio or at the field or whenever when they're in away games with that catcher's mitt on showing you. It's like a tutorial yeah. in-game where you can't get that in a press box because there's not the space. So in a way, it's been a positive out of a negative when you see him in that AT&T Sports studio, that hub studio.
He's really good. I don't know if he'd want to do it. It's easier maybe to be anchored in one spot, you know, with a family and stuff, but he has coach written all over him.
He's the roving minor league catching instructor to me. That's yeah. what he is. Because you don't really carry a catching instructor at the major league level. He is a guy that you say, you go to this place for 3 days, you go to this affiliate for 3 days, you go to make all our catchers better.
Oh, yeah.
It's system wide.
Yeah, and you can see that. I haven't seen it lately, but you could see you going around, you know, you go around and talk to guys during spring training, for example, and you know that he's it's almost he's coaching as much as finding out the wisdom that he has. It's great to watch, and I love, you know, guys like that. I love guys who know a whole lot more than I do about stuff, and you can learn. You can watch baseball for, you know, I've been watching baseball for almost 60 years.
He's phenomenal,
and I always learn stuff from him.
Well, it's real quick. I know we got to get to the epic ending, but a guy that size doesn't get to the major leagues without knowing so much. He didn't get there because of his size. He didn't get there because he had to outwork people, and he had to be smarter than people as well. So great on Michael McHenry. I can't say enough good things about him. Epic.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.